Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by XIQ Notecast. Notecast is a revolutionary app for podcast listeners. With Notecast, you can subscribe and listen to all your favorite shows, but you can also save portions of your favorite podcasts with automatic transcripts. Try it free for 60 days, no credit card required. Download Notecast for Android or iOS by going to notecast.app, that's notecast.app, and sign in using the code FROGPANTS for a free 60-day trial. That's notecast.app. And enter the code FROGPANTS when completing your sign-up.
I'm Ghostcrawler, I am totally off the leash, and you are listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 550. It is the 22nd of February, 2019. 1902. I had it all backwards. Welcome to our little show from 1902. I'm Scott Johnson, Garrett Weinzerpel. What's going on, buddy?
Well, it's 1999. I'm listening to Limp Bizkit, the Marshall Mathers LP, and
the second one's good. That first one's
Americana
terrible.
Americana by The Offspring.
Okay, those are all, but you had two quality choices in the rear, but that first one, gonna have to just put my foot down and say, yeah, Limp Bizkit, not what they used to be. Didn't really
hold
up.
Hey man, don't crap on the rap rock, on the hip hesh, on the butt rock.
Look, if I could wear a hat and tell everybody how, let's see, what was their one song everyone liked?
Well, they had Nookie, they had Break Stuff, they had Rollin', they had My Generation. Yeah. They had more than one hit, Scott. Don't step to me on Limp Bizkit trivia.
Okay, and then they had that cool cover of
Mission Impossible theme? No. The Mission Impossible theme for Mission Impossible 2?
No, although, yeah, that was all right.
Oh, Faith.
Faith, George Michael.
Has not aged well, in my opinion.
No, I'm going to just say it out loud, and you can disagree with me if you want, but I don't think Limp Bizkit has aged well at all. Just saying. Just of all those three albums you mentioned, those other two, still highly listenable and fantastic works. First one, not so much.
I mean, it depends on your personal sensibilities and how much you can remove yourself from the time period to still enjoy, I think, the Marshall Mathers LP, because it's pretty offensive by today's sensibilities.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, I do still enjoy it, even though I do disagree with the subject matter.
Well, let me just say this. That's true of a lot of rap. There's kind of hard to get around it. But I'll say this about Eminem, Marshall Mathers, okay? Today, or yesterday, this is a total offshoot topic, guys, and I won't spend much time on it. But the other day, he tweets how mad he is at Netflix for canceling The Punisher, okay? So he says, in all caps, "Dear Netflix, y'all are making a huge mistake canceling The Punisher," some words to that effect. "Yours truly," or "sincerely, Marshall Mathers," all in caps. And I looked at that and went, oh my gosh, my mother types like Eminem, or rather Eminem types like my mother. She thinks that the way to get to customer service of Netflix is A, to yell it out on social media of some sort. She'd probably use Netflix. And B, to do it in all caps. So that was great. That really filled me with warm feelings about probably how old Marshall Mathers is getting.
I would just like to say, dear Slim, yes. Yes.
I mean, and also I like The Punisher. I don't think it should be canceled. I'm with him.
I don't think it should be either. But as a lot of people have pointed out, I don't think it's really Netflix's call at this point.
No,
it doesn't seem like it's
not
Netflix's
their job
call, because they are literally canceling some of their most popular shows.
Yeah, no, it's not them. Disney's pulling out. That's the deal. And somebody, I hope, explains it to Mr. M or Mr. Nem. M&M. Anyway, hey, everybody, we're here. Now, before we get going too far, we got some stuff to talk about. There is some WoW goings on this week, including my lucky day the other day, which I'm going to rub in Garrett's face a little bit.
I hate you.
Don't hate me. Love me for what I found. So here's the deal. People on the show might be interested in this. You may already know about it because a lot of you listen to the morning show that I produce called The Morning Stream. If you don't, you should check it out. It's a good time. But every year for the last, well, this will be our second year, we've been doing a yearly meetup in Las Vegas. And we call it Viva TMS Vegas. And we just go to Vegas and have fun. We have some music. We do a little bar meetup stuff. We do some nerdy things during the day. And this year is special because on the Thursday of that event, we're renting the a chunk of the esports arena that's there at the Luxor Hotel. It's called HyperX Esports, and it's in the Luxor Hotel, right in the middle of the thing. And you may
are the seats built out of old RAM cards?
No, I wish. I wish. Also, there well, are that's not. Unfortunate. There are no. You can't pull the thing on a slot machine in front of your chairs. None of that stuff's in there. It's just like esports ass esports looking space. And if you look it up, you can see a bunch of pictures and you'd be like, oh my gosh, that looks like professional space. It is. They use it for tournaments and Blizzard's use it multiple times for Hearthstone and Heroes and Overwatch and so on. We're going to use it for a friendly community-based Overwatch tournament called Overpants. And if you're interested in participating, you can get all the information at vivatmsvegas.com. And you can also hunt it down over at frogpants.com. I kind of made it everywhere. It's on Twitter as well. But you go over there, there's ticket information, there's details about what we're doing. We got a really killer room rate at the Plaza Hotel for anybody who wants to save a little cash there. And if you, even if you're bad at Overwatch, we're encouraging people to sign up for teams. Tell us what your ability range is. We have like 1 to 10, so you can say, well, I'm terrible and I'm a 2. Or you can say, I'm great and I'm a 9. Whatever you want. It's not meant to be uber competitive, just a fun light, good time. The winning team all gets medals we're having custom made just for the event. It's also a rad challenge coin for this year's swag, among some other things. So it's really cool, and I just figured this audience might be interested, who maybe don't listen to the morning show. So if you're interested in such a thing, and you like, I don't know, hanging out with the community and us, and other people will be there, like Tom Merritt will be there, Justin Robert Young, a whole bunch of familiar faces around the network will be there as well. So go check that out, vivatmsvegas.com, and sign up for your Overwatch team. Also, as a matter of business, Chris Metzen, you might know him from such things as Blizzard. And
oh, isn't he the guy that did like One Voice and the Dragon Prince? That's what he's famous for, right?
Yeah, that's it. Wow, you've nailed it. You've really
pulled out. Yeah, I think his star is rising, man. He's gonna break it big one day.
Gonna go places. Well, I can tell you one place he's going to go. He's going to come back on the air with me. Now, how do I know that? Because he, independently of me even, got on Twitter the other day and said, when Scott and I get back together, what kinds of things do you want us to talk about? So, interview's coming, but he also wants to get your feedback. Like, what kind of stuff you want to hear from him? A lot of you replied with, can you tell us what the hell's going on with Blizzard, Activision, business? You know, all this. But that's probably not going to be the main topic.
If you really think he's going to talk about that, you really think he has an idea at this point? What's going on internally? He doesn't work there anymore, folks.
No, and he also didn't have anything to do with that kind of level of management. None of that was ever on his plate.
Is anyone out there like truly sitting there going or believing that they call Metzen up and like, hey? Who should we fire?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Guaranteed.
No, I don't think
that
happened when he worked there, and I definitely don't think it happens now.
Garrett is not incorrect in his assumption, and that will be the case. So if you want that out of him, you're not going to get it. However, if you want to hear whatever else, we're taking your suggestions, and you can reply to his Twitter account. I've been pulling up carpet, and my throat is like full of dust and devil particulates. It's terrible. So excuse me today. But anyway, you can answer that thread if you want, or you can send us an email or a voicemail, however you want to get to us, and say, well, here's something I'd like to know. I'd like to know what he's doing with his 40K figurine painting that he was super into when he quit. Or how about blah, blah, what other creative projects is he working on? Or whatever it is, kind of stuff you want to hear out of Metzen's mouth, kind of questions you want me to ask, that sort of thing, you can send us at theinstance@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 801-471-0462. Yes, Garrett.
I meant to reply and I didn't, so I'll just say here that I would like to hear him talk about the pop culture, well, remix culture that we find ourselves in. Like all these extremely successful pieces of fiction. What the hell was it called? There's a YouTube video by Nerdwriter called Intertextuality.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
All about this.
Okay.
And I found it through Just Right, because Just Right is another YouTube channel I really like that did a video on intertextuality. And it's this concept that Stranger Things, for example, it doesn't hide its influences. It brandishes them. It's proud of them and is very clear about what inspired it. And there's so much of that in Blizzard stuff.
Sure.
And I have to assume, hearing your previous interviews mm-hmm. with Mr. Metzen and realizing that he has very good taste and is a raging fan of things like Avatar: The Last Airbender and Korra mm-hmm. and whatnot, that he's probably seen Stranger Things and The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of culture folding in on itself, pop culture, that is, to say. Certainly a guy who's been involved with, like, I don't know. You look at Warcraft's beginning, middle, and end, and current state. It's very Warhammer inspired, and they were even working on a licensed Warhammer game originally, and then they pivoted and decided to make their own, and they called it Warcraft, and they kind of made it theirs in lots of ways. And some people are annoyed by that. I'm personally impressed by it. So the kind of mashing up and tweaking and crossing of streams is interesting, and I'll bet he has plenty to say about that. That's a great idea, Garrett. I'm going to ask him those questions.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm getting a sore throat right here. I can tell. When you get just like a little thing.
That's your left side. Yeah. I have a gland right. Yeah, my gland right there. That's my tester. If I touch it and it's sore, I'm about to get horribly sick, and I'm going to hate life for a while.
Oh, I don't want that. My wife gave me this spray. Where'd it go? I'm supposed to be using it. I'll do it after the show. I'm not going to do it on the air. Also, I'd like to rub something in Garrett's face and all of you who perhaps have been farming this bastard and haven't been able to pick it up. If you're hanging out in, where is this? Out in Darkshore. And fighting or farming a dude named Moxo the Beheader. Moxo. For his 6.18% drop rate of the captured Umber Nightsaber. Well, I've got good news for you. I went out there just doing dailies, world quests, without any intention of actually finding such a thing or hunting for it or farming it. I just killed Moxo and a handful of other mobs all in a little swath there because they all chased me down. And I was like, well, I may as well turn around and fight him. And he dropped the freaking 6% mount. So I just wanted to throw it out there that sometimes just don't try and stuff will just come to you, you know? Just walk in, fart around for a while. Oh, what's this? A 6% drop rate on a freaking mount everybody wants? That's interesting. And then ride off on it.
Okay. So, Scott.
Yeah.
My first tune and main, because unlike I feel like most people I talk to that play this game, I stuck with my very first tune for a very long time.
Sure.
Was a Night Elf.
Yeah.
Got a lot of feelings, a lot of nostalgia wrapped up in my purple brethren.
Sure. You probably love that zone. You probably love that zone. You probably love those horrible 2.5 polygon trees they got there. You probably love those. Yeah.
I do. I remember being on that dock before Deathwing was a dick and messed it up.
Yeah.
Fishing, learning how to fish for the first time so that I could feed my Nightsaber because it was my hunter pet.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Shoot, he's unhappy because that used to be a mechanic in this game.
Sure.
All right. So,
a little orange frowny face he'd have, or a red face.
Deep rooted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got some deep rooted nostalgia for Night Elves and for Nightsabers. It was the first mount I ever got. I remember hitting 40 and still being too broke to buy a mount and having to wait until I was like damn near 50 before I had enough gold to get my first mount.
Yeah.
It was slower than dirt, but damn it, I earned it. Mm-hmm. It was a low poly Nightsaber. And I'm sitting here, Scott, I'm sitting here. In the year 2019, thinking to myself, boy, these Night Elf NPCs that we're fighting have some really sweet upgraded Nightsaber models that they're fighting me on.
Yeah, these aren't the old low poly ones at all, by the way.
Yeah, it sure would be nice. It sure would be nice if they just updated all the old Nightsaber models so that when I feel that pull and I go back on my old Night Elf Hunter and play around, that his mounts look good. And it's really important to me. And it sure would be nice if this damn thing would drop.
would be nice.
Have you been farming it? Have you been out looking for it?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, I just really wanted to lay on the ham about how jealous I am that this dropped for you.
Well, now it makes sense because when I was out there, I killed it and then I stood there for a while because I was opening my hot new thing that I didn't even know was a thing. I sometimes keep track of where this stuff is, so when I know I'm out there, I'm like, oh, I should go try that, and so I'm effectively farming. But this one, I didn't even know. I had no idea. In fact, I thought it fell off one of the rando freaking nobodies. I didn't know it came off this Moxo guy till I looked it up. And there were other players around, and I took a minute as I was looking at it lovingly in my bag, ready to right-click it and add it to my collection, you know, all that. And somebody said, like, did a slash say, did you get it? And I said, yep. And then I went off. I ran off on him. And I didn't realize what that really meant was, here's a guy who's probably out there slaving away. He's got, you know, five orc kids and his wife at home, just barely making ends meet, having to eat bark off the tree, you know, can't get it going, can't afford a new mount. And out there every day, Moxo, kill him, Moxo, kill him, Moxo, kill him. And I walked in, one kill, one try, and rode off on it. It kind of made me feel weird and evil and hoardish. So, yeah. It's very cool. It's an awesome little mount. If you don't know what we're talking about, go look him up. He's the Captured Umber Nightsaber. And take that, everybody who wants it.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. If I could share it to you, if I could share it and clone it, I'd give you one. I'd do that.
I know you.
Game doesn't support it. It's not an option.
You're a stand-up guy like that.
Well,
that would, I mean, it makes sense that they don't, because that would kill the rarity and the specialness.
Of everything. It'd be the dumbest idea ever in all video games.
Why would you do that? Why would you even put that suggestion out into the world?
Hey, Blizzard, don't do it. Let's get into the meat of today's coverage. For example, very soon now, I guess it'll be Tuesday, right? Hold on. Kul Tiran and Zandalari Trolls, are they Tuesday? Now I don't have my date in front of me. Damn
it. Kul Tiran is my favorite Swedish black metal band.
Kul Tiran. Yeah, they'll really rock your socks off. Screamo band among screamo bands. Check this out. When this happens, if it's Tuesday, I may be wrong on that. Okay, no release date yet. I thought somebody had said Tuesday somewhere.
Oh, that seems
pretty early. Does it?
The raid hasn't been out that long, Scott.
I know, but I thought they were saying they'd have these earlier. Anyway, where I read this, I don't know. I'm making this up in my head. But I do know this. We now know 100%. What's going to land that day? They put out a video. They put out a very descriptive blog post of what's going on. I want to run down a couple of things that I was not aware of that I'm very excited about that I should have known was coming, but I hadn't paid any attention to up until now, and that is the racial traits of both of these races. In particular, the Zandalari troll traits are awesome. Check this out. City of Gold. Discover more gold from creatures. Always down to get more gold. Always. Okay, that's a perk like any other game, like any other RPG. If you're going through the thing and it's like, oh, this perk lets you pull more gold out of chests when you find them, always take it. Always. That's me. So this is just a built-in nicety, right? City of Gold. Then you got Embrace the Loa. Beseech a Loa obtaining one of six powerful boons. And you do this, they've shown the locations where they're going to be. But for those who played the Horde campaign, you'll know that out in the wild, some of these there'll be some of these shrines and you can click them and they'll give you a little bit of a buff for a while. These are boons that act more like the Skyrim ones, where you'd see those stones and you'd choose a perk and then it would be permanently attached to you unless you went and clicked another stone and changed it. That's how these will work. What's pronounce that word?
Which word is this?
This dinosaur word below Embrace the Loa.
Pterodax?
I don't ever say it right. I almost would have said Parocodax.
Oh, yeah, just think of pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl, but with just the toll taken off.
Yeah.
Why do we got to put P's and T's in front of stuff? We got a great English language with all kinds of enunciation options. Get the P out of there. Anyway.
Find a paleontologist and talk to them.
I know one. I should ask. I'm terrible.
You know why? Because paleontologist starts with a P, so they just slap a P in front of everything.
Yeah, but nobody calls them paleontologists, do they?
A lot of people don't know there's actually a P in front of Tyrannosaurus.
Shut up.
I'm screwing with you.
You have to be, because I'm like, wait a minute. I've gone my whole life. Don't tell me that.
Yeah, Devil Sore in World of Warcraft is a P in front of the D.
There's a P in front of the D. Yeah. Pedevil Sore? Got it.
Pedevil Sore, yeah.
Well, you get this Pterodax Swoop. It summons a Pterodax to reduce your falling speed. That's pretty cool, too, because you're in the land of like giant temples where you're always wanting to get off quicker. And if you're not a mage or have a glider or something, it sucks. So there's that. And then regeneration, or regenerating is how they say it. Regenerating man.
Regenerating man.
That's right. Concentrate to heal yourself rapidly over a short time. I love all of those. Those are all very self-preservation, greedy racial traits, and I'm into them.
I'm just curious about the lower shrines. Does that mean next expansion this is essentially a useless perk, or are they gonna have to put lower shrines in every new zone from here on out?
My guess is they will go one of two ways. Either they just zap it all together and you don't have it anymore, or they'll make it a thing that you can toggle somewhere in your racial or in your book or something. You'll be able to say, well, whatever active one I want active right now. Kind of like when you set your pet stance or whatever, be like that.
Last I checked, all of the shrines were located in Dazara lore.
They are.
They should give all Zandalari an extra Dazara lore specific hearthstone.
Or a Diablo style portal. So you pop it, it takes you there, just like you go to town in Diablo. You go change your thing, and you click that same portal. It's like a two-way trip, and then you're done. It's gone, and it's on a cooldown. That's what you should do. That'd be awesome. But who knows? We don't know what they're going to do, until we get there. But to unlock that allied race, you need to reach Exalted with the Zandalari Empire, earn the achievement Zandalari Forever, or Zandalar Forever. Complete the following achievements on the continent of Zandalar: the Throne of Zul'Dazar, the Dark Urn, the achievement Tides of Vengeance, and complete the Horde Tides of Vengeance war campaign. The day is won.
That is the Dark Heart of Nazmir. Oh, not the Dark Urn.
What did I say? Oh, the Dark Urn?
I did the same thing. I think you skipped the line.
Oh, I skipped the line. Dark Heart of Nazmir, Seeks of the Sands, and Bargain of the Blood, the final seal.
Yeah, the Dark complete your urn. Zones, everybody. Complete your zones.
Also, complete your sentences. When you can. Oh, my Lord. All right. Mechatork's battle plans through the front door and fly out to meet them. Those are all the achievements you have to get. And when you do, you will have access to your Zandalari troll. I wish it was Tuesday, but I guess they haven't given a date.
The big thing here is Exalted with Zandalari Empire. If you're not a regular rep grinder like myself, this is probably your biggest roadblock.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Lately, I've been doing a lot of rep grinding, and I was going to make this recommendation after I talk about the Cold Terrans, but I'm going to do it now. Wowhead has this great attunement tool. A lot of you probably already know about it. I just don't use it very often because I'm not usually that. I hate rep. I hate grinding for rep. It's always been a thing I've not liked in any version of WoW. But it's a really helpful tool, especially right now, because a lot of the stuff you can't get without that rep. So, go to wowhead.com/attunement, and it'll ask you for your realm and your character name, and it will tell you where you are in progress for all of this. It's awesome. It's a great little tool. So wanted to give those guys a shout out for that. And it's so easy. Freaking bookmark it. It's just great. Anyway, now let's say you wanted to get you're an alliance player, and you want to get your Kul Tiran fat human on, you know, because that's all they are, really. There's humans that are all like chubby. Right?
Oh, it's such a good model, though. You're underselling it. They look awesome.
They're just fat pirates, though, at the end of the day.
How is that a bad thing? You're just fat pirates? Oh, my God. I mean, I don't know. It's the Floridian in me. I've spent my entire life, you know, going and riding Pirates of the Caribbean constantly.
Sure.
I couldn't be more excited for this
race. I like pirates. I'm not going to complain. This is mostly me kidding around. But you can tell those guys are sitting around eating a lot of chicken wings and, you know, drinking a lot of
There's a lot beer. Of sugar in rum.
Oh, yeah, big time. Oh, yeah, rum is very sugary, isn't it? The only rum I've ever had was rum-flavored chocolate, and those also make me fat, so there's that.
It's delicious. You should get a rum cake. Very tasty.
Never had one. How do they do that? They just mix it with rum? It's not alcoholic when you eat it, is it? You can't, get drunk on cake.
Yes. Oh, you can undercook it slightly where it's really, really moist. Anyways, that should be a racial thing that Cold Terrans can do. They should just conjure rum cake.
You're making me hungry for cake, is what you're doing. Anyway.
My job is done here.
Well done. Reach Exalted with the Proudmoore Admiralty. All right. I love saying that. Earn the achievement A Nation United. Complete the following achievements and quests on the continent of Kul'Tiras: A Nation United, Lore Master of Kul'Tiras, and the Pride of Kul'Tiras. Earn the achievement Tides of Vengeance. Complete the Alliance Tides of Vengeance war campaign. War marches on. The Sleeper Agent, Mischief Managed, and He Who Walks in the Light. If you do all that, you too can have your own Kul'Tiran. And they are limited to a certain number of classes, and I forgot to write those down, but they are, and I didn't put the link, but there is some limit, and I forgot what it is on both sides. Each of them can't be somebody. And I forgot who it is.
I may have used that Wowhead tool you just mentioned.
Yeah, how's that working for you?
I'm apparently 0.7% away from unlocking Magar Orcs, and I was not aware of it.
See?
I know what I'm finishing this weekend.
Yeah. No, that's why it's such a cool tool. And that was actually a lot further ahead than I thought, because I hate grind so much that I sort of avoid it. But some of this I'm sucking at. For example, Zandalari Troll, I'm at 45.1% of Exalted. I'm not there yet. But I've got all the other achievements. I have almost everything else except for a percentage of grind.
Yeah, Zandalari Empire, I'm 75% of the way to Exalted, apparently. That's also closer than I thought, because I have been neglecting my world quest.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. Reputation, the Honor Bound, the Strike of Boralus. Oh, that's on the other side. Hold on. I don't care about them. I take it back. I'm at 96.8% complete of the war campaign, which is lame. So anyway, I got a lot of weird little barely there kind of things from this, but they also give you dungeons and raid stuff. So like, what have you completed there all the way up through 120, 110 to 120, tells you if you've completed it or reached it. It's really cool. And I've reached and completed a lot more than I thought I had. Because I just lose track of this stuff. It's just a lot to keep track of. And that's why this tool exists. So again, wowhead.com/attunement. And no, it will not help you with traveling back in time and being attuned for old raids in the game.
I think we should get together really late tonight and go run the Time Walking Black Temple.
That's running right now, isn't it? That's a thing.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the something going on with Wintergrasp? What's going on with that?
That'll be coming back soon as a special battleground.
Right. And the Blues are playing it on a stream sometime here soon.
Oh, are they? I didn't hear about that.
I read that somewhere this morning. I don't know where I read it, but apparently that's the thing that's coming as well.
I am ecstatic.
Are you?
About Wintergrasp coming back.
Really? Me too. I mean, that was the most fun I ever had in PvP. So, I don't know if they've said, but I wonder if it'll include, like, you control Wintergrasp, therefore this boss opened up, therefore there's cool loot and level appropriate, you know.
I think it's just basically a battleground at this point.
Okay, so they're not doing that bit.
Don't quote me on that, because I haven't.
Too late. Garrett Wines-Earl, February 22nd, 2019. You heard it here first. Quote. I'm not that's fine if it's just a battleground, but I think it would be a lot of fun to get some, well, even if it was just for, some decent transmog in there, that'd be cool, you know? And those were fun fights. Tune those up for 120, it'd be fun.
They were fun. They were simple, yeah. Relatively.
Yeah, they were kind of just burn them
they
down.
They were also, the models were nothing special. They were your run-of-the-mill frost giants.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was still fun.
They could put something down there. That'd be cool. We'll see what they do. Anyway. I made a very unpopular statement over the weekend. Let's just drag this out for a second and beat it with a stick.
Okay, well, I'm not sure what you're referencing, because I'm very worried about how controversial it may be.
I think, because I've been playing a lot and I've been going back and watching in-game cinematics again just for fun and just kind of soaking in lore and stuff as we get ready for the next phase. And I know this isn't a popular opinion, but I think my favorite character in the game right now is Nathanos Blightcaller. I think he's the guy. He's the man.
Okay. That's not.
It's really? A little controversial. People jumped all over me. Like, what are you talking about? He's the worst. I can't wait until he dies. I hate him. He's a piece of garbage.
I like Nathanos a lot.
I love him.
I'm just over Sylvanas at this point. I hate the way they've taken the character. I'm straight up bored at this point with her one-noteness this entire expansion, and I'm just ready to know how this ends. I'm so bored with her, but I love Nathanos. Can't get enough of it.
Well, what if he does a full Brutus and just takes over the throne and becomes the next...
I vote for him. Yes. Wow. Nathanos for president.
Okay.
Nathanos gets shit done. Sylvanas just sits on her throne and twirls her mustache. I'm over it.
I think I can't believe how much we agree on this. I thought you would give me some resistance on this for some reason.
No.
I don't know why. No. I thought that.
Unless you're going to dig Vol'jin up and prop his lifeless corpse back up on the throne. Yeah, Nathanos, let's do it.
Okay, I'm in.
I mean, if I were living in Azeroth,
yeah,
I wouldn't vote for it. It's probably pretty bad for me. But if I'm like, rah-rah, let's win the war... I vote for Nathanos.
Yeah, I just like how dark and twisted he is. I like his weird-ass voice. I like his glowy eyes. He's just like he's just a pisser. There's just something fun about him. I just really dig him. And
dude has seen some shit.
Yeah, but also I think he's just really well-realized and fun to pay attention to, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I admire his qualities or anything like that. He's kind of an ass, but it's how textured and layered he feels to me. He's not one note. He feels complicated. When he's on screen, I get excited. When I'm doing something for him, or even when he voices a world quest, the Dark Lady needs us to freaking pick our butts and throw it over the side or whatever. I get excited about it because I'm like, yeah, dude, look at you talking to me. You're cool. Anyway.
Yeah, I dig him. If like I said, if I lived in Azeroth, I'd probably vote for Bane.
Oh, yeah. I would.
Bane seems like he would just be a good leader who has everyone's well-being in mind.
Yeah, he's a nice guy with a plan. Usually, he's a nice guy. I like him. All right, I'm going to quickly show the chat something that we're about to talk about. See if I can get this to work here. Okay, so there's this talk of... Yep, there it is. Oh, I hate websites that want me to do notifications. Blizzard Watch did a post about the new Overwatch jerseys, not the ones the players are wearing, but the ones that people pay for. So last year they were pretty rad. If you loved a team, I bought one for my son for the Spitfire, I guess it was. If you were a fan, you were like, sweet, for $90, I can get a jersey that is a really awesome either version of that jersey or a really great fan jersey or whatever. And they were really nice last year. This year, they, by all accounts, are garbage. And the question is, did the layoffs or any of this stuff happening at Blizzard have any effect on this? This may seem a little petty, but I want you guys to look at this. For $90, you'd get a shirt. Look at this one.
I want you to look at my face in regards to, did the layoffs have something to do with this? Because this was my face.
Okay, hold on. Wait, let's get Garrett's face. Hold on. I got the wrong thing running here for your face. Okay, show me your face. I wasn't ready for your face. That's a good face.
That's absurd.
You don't think it had anything to do with like all the craziness? Like five people got laid off that were in charge of making sure these shirts were okay and working with third parties to make them. Because look at chat. Look at that garbage shirt. That is so bad. $90.
It is bad. I'm not refuting that. No, this probably just looks like, hey, I found somewhere that'll print them for a lot cheaper. Okay, go for it. And they didn't quality control it. I don't think it was, we got to save some money. Let's save 50 cents a shirt on this cheaper printing press. I don't know. That's obscene. That's just absurd.
Yeah, no,
we have no way of knowing.
Like, I agree 100%. I agree. On the face of it, it seems like no way. Also, you're right. There's no way of knowing. And besides, I don't think these shirts were purchased the day after the layoffs. I think that this was well in advance going. Who knows? But the point is that it's not good for Blizzard to have... Okay, this is really the big point. It's not good for Blizzard in the face of those layoffs and the shadow of all of that to have weird little things happen that seem like additional gas on the flames. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they can control all that perfectly, but to have these roll out and look this bad and be charging $90 a piece and everyone feeling a little tarnished as it is not a good look for Blizzard at this stage. That's really my takeaway.
I'm with you, but I'd also like to add, nothing is a good look for Blizzard at this stage. They can't seem to do anything right at the moment.
Yeah.
And this seems just really tiny in the grand scheme of things.
It is. It's very small. It's very small.
Yeah.
It's a shirt, like, and every one of those people, they should send them back. Get your $90 back, okay? Because,
yeah, no, I mean, anyone who paid $90 for this, like, I'm completely on board with you being like, holy crap, I want a refund, because this is garbage.
Yeah, last year they were ink. This year it's heat transfer decals. Those are terrible, which means they flake off, give it one or two washings, and you're screwed. The images peel off. The letters are uneven. They have weird edges on them. The generic...
That's the cheap. That's what you get, like, when you go to Key West and you buy an offensive shirt that they make for you on the spot.
Yeah, totally. But for $90, you should be getting way better than that. So,
yeah.
Separate issue. I would say it's a separate issue. It's an isolated issue, but it's hard not to see it in the larger picture. When something bad happens at Blizzard, it's like, oh my gosh, one more thing. Freaking one more thing. What we need out of Blizzard right now is some really positive movement, and that's going to take some time. So don't worry. Overwatch League still going, still hot business, still, you know, still rad for those who are playing and playing a lot. You know, get in there, have some fun, come out to Vegas and play with me. I'm going to be on a team and doing color commentary when I'm not playing. That's going to be a blast. We have our own little booth and headsets, and there's audience space and everything. It's going to be insane and expensive. That's why we need people to come and buy tickets. And the tickets aren't very expensive, but it's, you know, it's a reason to come hang out with us and have some fun.
I think everyone should go watch the GSL right now, because it has every pro StarCraft II player you have ever known or cared about in Code S, and it's amazing.
Look at you back on the StarCraft wagon, man. Didn't expect that. How's that? I mean, let's talk about the health of StarCraft. How's it all look to you as a guy who used to cover it?
From the outside looking in, as now a casual fan, that is mostly fueled by nostalgia of it being how I got started podcasting.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yeah.
It's bananas. Like, do you remember Maru? Do you remember back in the day, Maru being this little kid, you know, who broke into Code S? He's now like an adult and a god tier player.
Oh,
just
my lord.
Banana town.
Yeah.
But everyone that, like, all the Korean badasses that kind of made their rise in Wings of Liberty and Heart of the Swarm. That's it. That's the top 32 Code S right now. It's really good. My buddy and I are planning to do a Sunday of watching VODs, and we're going to treat it like it's a football event. We're going to make a bunch of snacks, get a bunch of beer, and sit down and watch GSL on the big screen. I can't wait.
That sounds great. I would love to do that. But okay, let me ask you a question here. Did the remaster of StarCraft 1 and Brood War, I predicted that thing was going to be a resurgence of the competitive scene for original StarCraft, which has never really gone away. But I mean, you know, as a prime event, like, hey, original StarCraft in 4K means that we can bring this game back. It's a 16:9 affair now, blah, blah, blah. That didn't really happen, did it? It kind of just.
Not that I know of. I'm really not the person to ask, because for me, StarCraft 2 is my game. That's where I got on board. You know, I played Brood War back in the day, but very casually. I was completely unaware of the esport for it.
Yeah.
So for me, it was, you know, Wings of Liberty. That's when I figured out esports was a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember what happened during Wings of Liberty? Like, Twitch was launched.
Oh no,
during
dude.
Wings of Liberty.
It was an enormous formative time. 2010 was a big year.
Like, yeah,
that was huge. No question. It also made my computer overheat, that game.
It was bad. I know they've done some show matches, but I don't know if they've been using it or if they've just stuck with the old Brood War. I can't give you an answer because I don't know.
Well, we shall see how it goes. I like when I hear that StarCraft is doing something well.
Yeah, and it's on YouTube now. You don't have to, like, back in the day, you had to buy, like, a GSL subscription to watch it on their proprietary video player. It's on YouTube now.
Yeah, that felt like that was the AOL of esports back then. You know what
God,
I mean?
You're not wrong.
Yeah, like, they all thought what they would do is they would have basically, like, a ticketed event. They didn't see what was coming. They didn't
know.
They
charged you a premium for 720p.
Yeah, they didn't know. They didn't
know. It was so weird back then.
Yeah, they didn't know. Here we are streaming this dumb show on on 1080p for free. Hey, everybody, look where we're, look how far we've come in 8 years.
Look at our talking heads.
Yeah, stare at them longingly.
Look at this visually interesting production.
Bondle County Country, whatever his name is, says Garrett's face that you made earlier in the show needs to be on the YouTube thumbnail for this episode. I might have to track that down.
Dude, I hit it with some impact font and cut me out and, you know, write something really controversial on it. You'll get a ton of views.
Yeah. Don't forget to mash that subscribe button, like and subscribe. It's your boy Garrett. See, I know all this lingo. I know what to say.
Yeah. I'm building a new vape rig.
Great, dude. We got it all covered. Okay, guys, I hate to just barge right in the middle of this, but we needed a little bit of a break, and I want to talk to you about our friends at XIQ Notecast. Podcasts are a great source of information and entertainment, including this episode of this show. And if you're like me, you can't always remember where you heard something. This happens daily. I get questions about something that happened or was said on a show, and I don't know how to find it. Well, we want to share something revolutionary with you. Recently, we've been using Notecast by EXIQ, or XIQ is how you pronounce it, which is available on both iOS and Android. It's a bit of a game changer. You can use it to subscribe and listen to all your favorite podcasts, but you can also use it to save portions of the podcast where you want and even automatically generates a transcript of that for you. All you do is tap the note button on the play screen, or you can just pause the podcast and say, save that. You can actually say this into your phone. And again, doesn't matter. Android, iOS, doesn't matter. The Notecast app will save the last 30 seconds of what you heard. It's kind of like game saving, you know, like what's that thing NVIDIA does when you get the last minute of play or whatever. It's like that. So you can go back and listen later, and it will also store a transcript as a digital note. There's also an option to have it emailed to you if you'd like. I think this app's really cool. I'm super impressed with it. I think you will be as well. So whether it's just a great conversation, a story, a joke, a tip, a recipe, whatever, Notecast will help you retain information like never before. It's an absolute must-have podcast app and the perfect cure for in one ear and out the other. You can download Notecast for iOS and Android by going to notecast.app, or you can search for them in their stores. And we've got a special offer for our listeners. Try it for free for 60 days. No credit card required. Just enter the code FROGPANTS when completing your sign up. Again, that's notecast.app, and use the code FROGPANTS to try it for free. All right, let's talk about the rest of Blizzard. Other things have been going on. I have a theory. This is very controversial or very conspiratorial of me, but I think those resistance skins from Heroes of the Storm are a quiet resistance from the dev team.
Mm. I'm going to make the face again, Scott. I'm making the judging face.
I'm sure that I've made that up in my own head, but I like the idea that happens to be the skin pack, and it's called the Resistance skin pack during a time of great woe is us for Heroes of the Storm. So I don't know. It's fun to think about, but you're probably right.
If you want to have a conversation about how every time I read a letter from K.O. Milker, I feel like it's just got the ever so subtlest middle finger. Leadership.
He sneaks him in there, dude, because he's a really nice guy, and he's not one to throw you the bird directly, but he'll put a little subtle, maybe he doesn't even know he's doing it. It's just like subconscious, like a couple of birds in there going.
The best comparison I can make, and I'm gonna F up the quote, so you should go turn on the Last Jedi commentary and watch it for yourself. But in the Last Jedi commentary, somewhere in there, there's Rian Johnson during the Mary Poppins Leia scene going,
yeah,
Kathleen Kennedy really wanted this. Where I'm just like, that is the subtlest throw Kathleen Kennedy under the bus about the worst scene in a controversial film out there.
It was very and, Mary Poppins.
That's how I feel about Cale Milker's style of sticking it to the Brack man.
Yeah, the shade is thrown so lightly that you almost don't notice the change in light. It's just a little shade.
Yeah, so I'm with you there. Yeah. I think the Heroes team, you know, they're a passionate group that believes in what they're making, and I cannot imagine this. It's been easy. This has been an easy, you know, 3 months for them.
Well, certainly not. I can't for anybody.
As for the skins themselves, I'm sure they were in the works long before this, and it just so happened to line up.
Yeah, Deckard Payne is an amazing skin set. People should check that out if you're still playing Heroes. Hearthstone developers took to Twitter and asked people what they want to see come back to the game. Would you explain or parse what they mean by that and what could it pretend for the game? Because I don't know what they mean by that. They just mean old cards? They mean old mechanics? It's, like, what do they mean?
Again, it's this, because of the state that Blizzard is in, this is landing weirdly. People are gonna, I think, blow it out of more proportion than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. I see this as a good thing. I like seeing that that Team 5 is out there asking, like, hey, what do you want Hearthstone to be?
Yeah,
because it has stagnated. To be completely honest, we're gonna get our 3 expansions. We're gonna get Brawls. We know that. I think a lot of us veteran players are ready for something new, and we're just not getting it. And I mean, to me, this kind of ties in with that survey that was bouncing around in January. That was asking, like, people were freaking out. YouTube videos were going up all over the place because one of the questions in the survey was, how interested would you be in Hearthstone if it didn't have an eSport?
Oh, really?
But it had all these other questions that felt like a needy significant other. It was like, do you still like me? Do you still spend money on me? Like, it had questions like that as well. Yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that was the anecdote I was using on Angry Chicken.
Yeah.
So I think they're just trying to figure out where to focus their efforts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vibe I'm getting. But I see it as a really positive thing because there's a lot of stuff I'd like to see added to the game. And a lot of the responses I saw to Ixar's tweet, very few was I like, oh, that's insane, that's a terrible idea, I wouldn't want to see that. Everything I was like, yeah, I'd be stoked if that got added to the game.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, them reaching out for feedback certainly isn't anything new, but again, it's just always in the shadow of what came a week and a half ago that everybody puts, you know, frames this in. The chat room says, Kilmanok 1285 says, it's in good faith, but it comes off as Team 5 being desperate. You agree with that? Not desperate, but I think desperate's not the word. It comes off as just...
Yeah, to a certain degree. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's I want them to be open to feedback. I want them to listen time.
Yeah.
Because of where we are right now, like take Blizzard out of the mix. Forget all the stuff that just happened with Blizzard. Apex Legends just came out of nowhere and it just works and it's amazing. So there's also that, you know, that Henry Ford quote. It's just like, don't ask me what I want. Just give me something good.
Yeah.
Just surprise me. Just release something. It's amazing. It's not buggy. And yeah. And just surprise me at this point.
That game is that's a good example of that in action.
Yeah. And seeing how many replies there are, it's hard not to have that feeling. Because it's just like, there's just so many. There's so many replies. I mean, you do notice themes or patterns, obviously.
There's a fair number of people jumping over to Magic Arena.
Yeah, well, it has a lot of formats, which is what I've been asking for since the beginning of Hearthstone. When I got into the beta, I was stoked. I'm like, oh my god, there's so much potential. This is a solid card game. I can't wait for Sealed. I can't wait for Draft. I can't wait for all these other, you know, the two-headed giant. Like, I was hoping for 2v2 in Hearthstone would be really cool.
Oh yeah,
and
oh man,
we've never even heard like a whisper of a new format. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah,
they launched with Constructed and Arena. And eventually they added Tavern Brawl, which is not that different, really. I mean, you get weird spins, but it's still kind of bound by the confines of Hearthstone.
I know how you love, quote-unquote, brawls in these video games. They're your favorite.
Oh, yeah. I it's not for me. And now that I've gotten to know multiple devs on the Brawl team, I feel bad crapping on it. But it's just not my jam.
Well, it's not them. I mean, in Heroes, you always hated those brawls. You don't like you like the...
I just never played them. I think I played like two Heroes brawls.
But that's enough to know, right? You don't come to that game for weird offshoot janky rules. You go to that game for the game.
I've never been a custom map guy.
Right,
ever.
Right.
Not in Warcraft 3, not in Dota 2, except for Auto Chess. I just want to play Auto Chess, and that's the only way I can.
Sure. That game will exist in some other form soon.
Yeah, I've never been a custom map guy.
I'll tell you what. When I played back in my Unreal Tournament days, the facing... What was it called? Two-face? Whatever it was. The facing... There were basically two towers on a floating rock in space with a big chunk of land in between it. And it was Capture the Flag. And you would turn on two modifiers. You would turn on low gravity and you would turn on instagib, which was just this, what do you call those guns that just shoot a fast laser? What's that called? Railgun.
Railgun?
Yeah, it's basically...
Well, railgun is a fast projectile.
Yes, but it's just like a you know, like a shot or whatever. And if you got hit, yeah. you're dead. It's just you would explode into guts, which was the Instagib thing. Yeah. So Instagib was on, and then you would have low gravity. And that was the only time that I really liked that kind of thing. That sort of let's play with the rules and dork it up and then go have some crazy fun. Like there,
you know, now you're reminding me. So my, I guess my statement is not entirely true because I did play the crap out of Half-Life mods.
Oh yeah,
like custom Half-Life mods.
Well,
like,
because it's new and you were fiddling around, and you know, it's not the same though as you saying, you know, like if what's it like? We're just in such a different world now, and we're kind of over it. We want really well-crafted experiences in games, whether that's the gameplay loop or the game itself or whatever.
Well, I still know plenty of people who love custom maps. Mm-hmm. I mean, how else would we have discovered auto chess if people weren't in there playing custom games?
Well, you're right. It's totally true.
So it's definitely still a thing. You know, I don't think it doesn't feel the same to you and I who are a little older. Obviously, you've been around for a piece of game even longer than I have.
Sure.
But you know, it was different in the late 90s and the early 2000s.
I agree. When I was playing Quake in 96 or whatever, and we started getting mods, I mean, we were all in on that idea. It was like, and not only that, the mods turned into games. Like, the very first time I played Team Fortress was a mod for Quake 1, and it was amazing. And I thought, oh, this is going to go someplace. And sure enough, it went places. Same thing goes for Capture the Flag itself. It was originally a Quake mod. It was unheard of, and now is like a mainstay. I honestly think that, well, we know there'd be no MOBAs without Warcraft 3 and its modability. It's the one thing I wish Blizzard was building into their games more, and maybe whatever they're working on now can go further in this direction. Probably not if it's mobile focused, but it'd be great if they embraced the mod space a little harder, not just with StarCraft, but with, you know, I wish Diablo was moddable. That would have added so much lifespan to that game, more than it already has. And it already has a long lifespan. So
Heroes should have let us make the skins. Just do the Dota model.
Yeah.
Like, why have that all locked? Give us some map building tools.
I agree. Let me sell hats. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, it's built in the StarCraft engine. I know you have map tools.
Yeah. You guys know what you're doing. All right. Overwatch League is in full spin. We mentioned that earlier. And that Paris map is out. So if you want to get your French on, go in there and
give that a try.
You know, get your French on.
Chew on a baguette while you're playing it for the full experience.
That sounds all right.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
It is the town crier indeed. It is where we read your emails. I'm going to read two of them today because why not? One's very short. Got one from Robert. Oh, by the way, you send these to theinstance@gmail.com. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462 if you'd like those to be played on the show. Make them kind of short, though, like a minute or less. If they're longer than that, they usually won't make it. Got one from Robert. He says, hi, guys, listening to episode 546. Please do more cinematic recaps. That was amazing, Robert. Now, what he's referring to was my terrible telling of in-game cinematics that were presented just fine by Blizzard.
Yeah.
Okay, so like there's a shot of these giant bells and they're ringing and you're like, oh, it's church. And then surprise, it's this human city called Lordaeron. And you see these giant shoulders and you're like, oh, it's Johnny Bravo. No, it's not. It's actually it's Prince Arthas.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have his blonde hair anymore. He's all edgelord. He's been listening to Cradle of Filth with his white hair.
Yeah.
And he's got all these skulls all over and he's walking and people are just throwing roses at him and you're like, man, like when Doves Cry should be playing right now, but it's not. It's this epic orchestral score.
Yeah.
You get a close-up on his hands and his, you know, looking at his sausage fingers as one of the petals like lands on his hands and it wilts as it touches his.
He did have sausagey ass fingers. That is so true.
Yeah. And it's at this point that you start wondering, why are these people still cheering? They should really probably be concerned. You know, their blonde, beautiful prince has just shown up looking half dead, wearing the skulls of his enemies.
Yeah.
Later on, we find out it was made from Serenite and it's not actually, you know, it was more of an aesthetic thing. But anyway, then, you know, there's zoom in on two giant doors. They get thrown open pretty violently. And again, The king's just sitting on his throne. He seems happy to see his son. You're like, you should be concerned. This is your child. And he left looking like a Disney character, and he just showed up looking like he came out of a freaking Gwar concert. And yet he's like, hey, what's up, my son? And then, you know, this Arthas just walks up, and he just stabs his dad.
Yeah. See, and, I think your telling is really accurate. Like, I think you're nailing it. My approach was more like, Sylvanas did something. I don't know what. Like, that's kind of the essence of my thing. So Garrett is really good at the retelling. I think I'm terrible at it. But if that's what the people want, fine. Next time they
you
put
ask
out
me to redo, like, I don't know, any of the others, I'd probably struggle with it.
Yeah, like what happened recently? Nathanos and some one-eyed orc. Am I supposed to know her name? Who's the one-eyed orc?
One-eyed orc?
Yeah, it's a lady. She's always hanging out with Thanos.
Oh, you're talking about the terror of Darkshore with the Malfurion actually being a badass.
Yeah, she comes in there with him, and they see a groveling little troll guy who's going, "Bomb Somdi, don't take me now. Leave me here. Don't take me now," he says. And then they go out into the woods, and they go, remember when we were that thing screwed up, by the way, because when they're describing them moving product, basically, to or moving supplies for the war effort, he says, "Hurry up. We don't want to do this. We don't want to be, or no, we need to be there before dark." But the scene is, it's dead dark. It's night. Either that troll's an idiot or they screwed up on the team. But anyway, they get out there and he goes, let's get it. Let's do it before dark. And then all of a sudden, rah, bear comes. And the bear says, "Tell her we're coming for her." And then they run off, and then Nathanos is pissed. Oh, and then the owl comes, and at first you think the owl might be Sylvanas, but no, it's her shitty owl she shoots at in Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, you mean Taranda?
Yeah, Taranda is what I meant. Taranda and her husband are standing there looking all like they just had sex, and they're thrilled about it. Anyway, so there you go. There's my retelling of that one. mine are very short. Let's
liken the shot of Malfurion and Taranda standing next to each other as an after sex selfie.
Oh, it's like a little afterglow. They look all like,
that's terrible.
I'm
doing the face again, Scott.
Just had sex and it failed so good. Remember that song?
Lonely Island is going on their first tour ever.
First? Really? I thought they already did a bunch of that. That's cool.
They're doing a tour.
I would enjoy that tour.
I would go see that as well. Except now I would just be like, do Jake Peralta from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, do Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I struggle to remember your real name now because I've watched so many episodes of that show.
All right, here's what we'll do, chat room. Next week, have one in mind, like one of the cinematics from some history in WoW. And next week, I will try to, from my memory, do a retelling of it. So you could say, I don't know, the one where... It could be the one for Warlords, like the opening Warlords thing. I don't remember hardly shit about that. I would love to talk about that. All right. Hey, look at this email from Harry, who wrote in and says, "Good morning. I love your show and have been listening for almost a year now, which indirectly got me hooked on your other podcasts individually. As you mentioned on your last episode of The Instance, I agree Grumpy Patrick is priceless. Anyway, getting to my point, you all seem to agree that Cataclysm sucks." I actually don't. I enjoy Cataclysm. But Patrick is pretty sure it is. I don't think you liked it either.
I think Cataclysm has aged surprisingly well. Like, some of those zones are rad.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. Also, I think the Deathwing fight is still one of my favorite creative raids ever. It was awesome.
It's really good. Yeah. Cataclysm, yeah, I just think it's aged better in my mind. At the time, though, I didn't love it too much. But it came after Lich King. Like, it had such a huge expansion void to fill. Like, it was in Lich King's Shadows, and I think that's exactly what's happening right now with BFA. Like, I don't think it's that bad. It's just, it came after Legion, which is probably the best expansion this game has ever had.
Yeah, it's a very hard act to follow. I think that is absolutely where we're at in this transition, and we will probably, this is going to sound like heresy to some of your ears, but we will probably some years from now look back and go, "Oh yeah, I like that about BFA. That was cool that they did this thing. Or I like where the story went." Or we're going to have nice things to say, just like we always do about the expansions that have issues we don't like. We all do it with, we were all worried about pandas. And now I know you and I, anyway, really think fondly of our time in Pandaria. I'd still say it's one of the best things I ever did in this game. And I don't want Warcraft without it. Like, it's,
I'm trying to think of a music analogy of like a really good band. And then they were followed up by also a good band, but not as good as the other band.
Yeah, or even albums from that same band. Like a band will put out something.
So you go back in time and you just watch The Clash perform, and then like 1994 era Green Day comes out and you're like, well, I like them, but they're not The Clash.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. Or if you're a Green Day kid and that's your first exposure, then you hear Sum 41 2 years later and you're like, that they're not as good as that. That's the same idea. So for me, it's like this. Beastie Boys put out License to Ill in the late 80s. I was absorbed, loved it, couldn't get enough of it, had it on repeat, wore multiple tapes out, and had it on CD as well later. Loved it. License to Ill. Great stuff. Except for that Fight for Your Right to Party is a stupid song. But anyway, whatever. It was great. And then their follow-up album is Paul's Boutique. Now, Paul's Boutique turns out to be one of the best hip-hop albums of all time, in my opinion. But at the time, it threw everybody for a loop because it was very different. It was more like what they wanted to make. It was less mainstream. It was more true to what the Beastie Boys would become over time. But nobody recognized it for that at first, and it got panned, and it sold like crap, and it was no good for anybody. But now we all look back and go, ooh, Paul's Boutique, ooh, that is a hell of an album. Oh, so good, so good. It kind of is that with WoW. Like, it just is. Like, Cataclysm, we had our issues, but I look back and I go, oh, yeah, but dude, that final raid and the stuff they started doing with cinematics during raid content, like that was all new and like some really cool stuff, and the world needed redoing, and they did a great job of redoing stuff, and like we could fly in those zones now, and all of that stuff got improved. And you know, we think about that stuff fondly. Same thing, Pandaria, rad expansion. We thought at the time, oh no, pandas. Even Warlords of Draenor, which I still think is their weakest effort yet, there's still things I love about it. The music, I think, is the best they've ever done. That can be argued, but there are other aspects to Warlords, I think, that I look back on now and go, oh, yeah, remember when we did that thing with that world boss? It was like first time they tried that. Like, there are moments to be happy about. And I think that the case of the same case is going to be made for BFA some years down the road. Welcome to the Wild Pattern.
I don't have much fondness for Warlords is my only follow-up to that.
Well, I mean, it is their weakest point, no question. Like, yeah. I think there's enough time has passed that we can still say that, too, without, you know, it's hard to rose-tint that expansion too much. And part of what makes it seem worse is that Legion, its follow-up, was so amazing. Yeah. I mean, Legion was
I got nothing to add other than 2000. Warning was an amazing album by Green Day, and y'all didn't give it the respect it deserved, but you couldn't get enough Big Pimpin'.
Yeah, Big Pimpin'. I had enough of Big Pimpin'. It's fine. Thank you, Harry, for the email. Oh, wait, I didn't read his yet, did I? Oh, no, I did. I just didn't finish it.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not Team Deathwing or anything, but I feel like it was the first major attempt at WoW trying something new. I would love to hear your feedback. Also, thanks you guys for your great individual shows as well. And Garrett, I'm a WoW cocktail car dog fan myself, so your show definitely has a target audience in me. Thanks again, Harry. Well, there you go.
So my solo show, R2T2, has become this just cornucopia of topics.
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah,
there's no limits. Yeah. It can be whatever. It could be genital warts coming up next on R2T2. Look forward to it.
That would, no.
Oh, not that? Okay.
No, not that.
Cracked and bleeding nipples. That's next on R2. No, not.
That might actually be a concern for our poor nursing chihuahua right now.
Oh, yeah. Actually, my daughter has.
Turns out when you only have one puppy, that puppy eats a lot.
Yeah. They take the whole, and they get all the teats. They get every teat. You got six of them there. Pick one. Pick one, kid.
It'd be like if you just ate at the buffet. Yeah. You pick up the ribs, you eat the ribs. You move over one. Oh, there's burgers here. You eat a burger, you move to the next, you just stand at the buffet and eat.
Oh, that sounds really good right now. I want a burger. That's what I'm doing for lunch. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. My house is going to be full of people putting floors in right about now. So this is a good time to end the show. We won't hear a bunch of hammering sounds, which you're probably going to get real bad real quick. Thank you all for being here and listening. Of course, as we mentioned a lot on the show, we have a lot of other stuff going on, other shows. And things you can catch while you're not listening to The Instance. Garrett, why don't you tell people where they can go to get yours?
Oh, it's all over the place. Amovie.tv is the catch-all for all of it. Kyle and I have launched a new podcast. It is called Enter the Apex. Not Into. I know you're all thinking, oh, like, what's the tie-in with Enter the Nexus? It's Enter the Apex because ETA is such a cooler acronym than ITA.
Oh, ETA is. I heard this yesterday from Kyle when we were playing Heroes, Wednesday, and he said this, and I went, oh, that's why you do it. It doesn't even matter if it makes sense or not. That's a perfect little acronym. Yeah.
Enter the Apex. It is now everywhere podcasts can be found. We're currently number 3 on video games podcasts on iTunes. Thank you for the subscriptions, everybody. Keep them coming. And go to youtube.com/Garrett and Kyle because we're cutting the podcast up into bite-sized segments and actually editing them to be visually interesting over there. And we had Trixler on the most recent episode, so go listen to it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, Trixler wanted to come on here. We should do that. That would be a fun little threesome on the show.
You know what? I'm not even going to say that sounded bad. Yes, that would be fun. It would be a rad threesome. Let's do it.
It did sound bad, but everyone likes a rad threesome. That's been my experience. All right, well, great. That's amove.tv for all of that, everybody, so go check that out. And for everything I'm up to, you can check it out at frogpants.com, as always, and there are more great shows just like this one, so I would recommend it. We'll be back next time with more fine content. Love to get your voicemails in the meantime, 801-471-0462. Or again, you can leave us an email, theinstance@gmail.com. Find us at theinstance.net, on Twitter, @ScottJohnson, @InstanceShow, and @GarrettArt. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.